It's time to go full speed ahead with Michael Kelly. Each week, we take you inside all the big sports stories at USF from the perspective of the man who oversees the program, Vice President of Athletics, Michael Kelly. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
We are on Microsoft Teams. You are in your office where you're, I'm sure, looking to your right and getting flashbacks to what happened with the spring football game just a couple days ago, Michael. But since we've last talked, at least on these airwaves, there's been a little bit of news when it comes to the construction and actually the company that will manage the construction of the on-campus stadium. So I'm sure people are excited to hear about that.
Yeah, it was a huge week last week. A lot of big news leading into that spring game. We talked about it back in December about how we knew this would be somewhat of a almost a spring homecoming, if you will, and to lay out a bunch of good progress as it relates to the on-campus stadium, and started off the week, as you mentioned, to be able to announce that we selected Manhattan Construction Company as the one to move forward with. They we had three great bids, but Manhattan stood out both not only on the experienced team that they put in front of us that we has got a lot of experience working with not only Populous but with major projects, including Mercedes-Benz Stadium, including AT&T Stadium in Dallas, so amongst the best in the world. But certainly excited to work with them on that. So that was kind of how we started off the week. We knew that would be a really great step forward. We also announced that we know we're going to proceed on a pace to have our groundbreaking for the facility on during homecoming week of next year, which will be leading into the UAB game, just heading into that October 19th date. So the exact date of that groundbreaking ceremony is to be determined. The exact details we'll share with you, but just to kind of give anyone continued understanding that this is happening and when it's happening, and that'll be well-timed, because that'll be, as we've already talked about in previous episodes, we're already in the progress on campus of building the new intramural fields and club sport fields that are being built over on the west side of campus to that you can already see being, if you drive on
Fowler Avenue and for sure
downs, you can kind of see all that being laid out right now, which I think it's going to look just extraordinary now when you kind of drive by and see activity with all of our students out there playing. But that'll allow us, if we groundbreak, at least the ceremonial groundbreak in October, by the end of, by the time we get to Thanksgiving, the last intramural games will be played and moved over to that for the next semester, and allows us to go to full bore construction there sometime in the late fall and early in 2025. So that's really exciting as well. And we released a couple new renderings that were literally shine some sunshine on the situation and kind of showed how cool it's going to look in a daytime setting. So that was that was a lot of fun as well. So a lot of cool things happening, a lot of good work being done, and just again little drips of positive news as we go on the road to 2027 for the new on-campus stadium.
And obviously we'll get more into some of the questions people might have about the actual groundbreaking, and you said the intramural fields, you can tell stuff is happening, but I want to go back to your selection of the construction company. And was there anything, I mean, you mentioned some of the stuff they've done, was there anything that particularly wowed you as you were contemplating them? And I'm sure their work with Populous also was a big, as you said, factor.
Well, we just had three really good companies that did apply for the work, so it's always hard to make those kind of decisions. But again, Manhattan, both on their experience on the actual team they'll put in place for this, was one that our owner's rep and our selection committee felt very good about and strong about. They have worked well with the community as well. They've joint ventured with a construction company out of Atlanta and in Tampa that will make sure we maximize our opportunity with our diversity supplier business as well on this project. That's to be right. A leader on that, which will be very, very important. And again, this has to be a project that happens with the community, not to one. And so having that ability to have that track record was really important. And frankly, their fees and the amount of investment they're willing to make in this project to make sure we stay on budget was really, really important. We want to get the maximum value out of this facility since we're expending a lot, and want to make sure we get the most for our money, and their proposal matched up best for that. So when you put it all together, really mostly governed by the experience that they have in place to put this project together, and they're excited to get started here really, really soon.
Okay, so some of these questions might seem a little bit rudimentary, but if I'm thinking that I want to know the answer. I bet you there's somebody else out there that does. So everyone,
fire away. It's probably on X somewhere, so we need to answer it right now.
I'm not going to put the rude in rudimentary. I'm just going to ask, and at the risk of sounding dumb, people are always excited, and I'm one of them, to see renderings. Who does them and who gets to see them first? I know you don't render them.
Yeah, my AI generation duties don't do as good as those renderings are. You know, it's done mostly in concert with Populous. Obviously, Populous is the design firm. They're the ones kind of laying out what this facility is ultimately going to look like. And then they have different vendors that kind of, you know, there's a lot of things they draw up that we'll all be seeing at some point in the future once we, you know, refine it and make sure it's something that's going to move forward on. But you know, they have some great companies they work that kind of actually do nothing but specialize in those kind of renderings that are kind of full resolution, ready to go to kind of show the whole scheme of things. But ultimately, you should credit Populous for that.
And outside of you seeing them first, is a certain head football coach over your shoulder are always hitting you up like, you know, got anything to show me?
You know, Alex and his team are very involved in the details of what we're doing on the TGH Center for Athletic Excellence. So that's mostly where their focus has been, on making sure we have a highly efficient and highly progressive design that's going to be a great, great home for the future of that program. So that's kind of what their more behind the scenes things are focused on. But, you know, frankly, before we release it to the public, we get it approved and looked at by our chairman and our president. And once they're comfortable, we move forward. And again, to your question, I shouldn't assume people know this, the commit, everything, you know, obviously Manhattan's now our construction company. We have Populous as our design firm. There's what's called the steering committee that Jay Stroman and myself co-chair in conjunction with other steering committee members, which include Jennifer Condon, who's our overall CFO of the university, Carol Post, who's the overall vice president for facilities and operations for the whole university, Don Rodriguez, who's our treasurer for the university. So we look at it from a financial standpoint, and then obviously from a overall construction standpoint, and then obviously from a fundraising standpoint with Jay, and then athletics with my input. We all report up to the president and the board of trustees for this overall project, and then within us, all of our, you know, obviously tons of athletic personnel, tons of facility and maintenance personnel, tons of all these people are kind of working on things behind the scenes, but they don't all necessarily see renderings before they go public. That's ultimately determined by once Jay and I feel it's been properly approved and consulted with, then we'll make sure they get released in due time.
Man, it's a lot of names that are way higher up the list than me. I just have no chance of getting an early glimpse on any of this. Now, you mentioned, and it brings to mind, you know, is there anything new to report when you initially announced the TGH Center for Excellence, that is where the football facilities are basically going to be housed overlooking everything? Is there anything new and exciting to share about that? Maybe something that there was a lot of possibilities last time we talked about it, the details that have come out in regards to that?
You know, obviously the main thing that got accomplished this spring was to get the construction company on board and to get a lot of more design work being done behind the scenes. So now that we've got that done, it'll be one of the first steps of business is for the construction company to you know, evaluate the plans as they exist today, make sure we stay within the budget that we have, and see if we have any decisions to make on design aspects. But assuming that can all go forward, we will move forward. So what's going to happen is once we get the construction company more on board, we'll be able to, again, then in the coming months, be able to show more insight into some cool aspects of the stadium itself, on how it'll look. For the main reason of this, we want to be able to start going to market about how can we sell the naming rights to this facility, which is so important to our long-term, you know, financial plan. So that's kind of the next step, is getting enough more details in place so that we can be able to show a proper presentation, both to potential investors and obviously to our fans to see that. And then from there, probably closer to groundbreaking is when we would be more in a position to, you know, start looking at how we will sell the premium product that's in that will ultimately be in that facility. We know there's going to be club seats, of course. We know there's going to be a club area. But what other premium type things can we add in there that have been unveiled before in our overall feasibility study of things that we think we should have? But now we're obviously going back into the actual design and seeing what can we actually put in the facility And we've been, you know, adjusting it as time goes on, because we know we live in such a great city that has great premium product with the professional teams here in town. And we know what's popular and what's not. And we want to kind of make sure we have just a very, you know, diverse mix of premium product that when we go to markets. And that's not going to be just a club seat. It's, you know, we want to be able to offer a lot of different things to meet our fans' expectations.
Awesome. We're talking to Michael Kelly on Bull Speed Ahead. And by the way, we did not do a show last week, and that was when he was at the Final Four. So we might have to ask you a little bit about looking forward to the next year's Final Four on the women's side, although I know.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
For sure. So we'll get to that and what else is going on in the current spring season. But I'm sure people are thinking, you know, groundbreaking. I think back to, you know, the groundbreaking for the IPF and how at the time it seemed like, oh, you know, it'll be forever before we actually see it. And it really, you could see the progress so vastly and so quickly take place, and then there it is, and now it's almost like it's been here forever, even though it's been just one full season, and it's fantastic. So, of course, I'm thinking, all right, how quickly will it be before fans see material things, or should we not be expecting it quite so much? I know, yeah, it's going to be a couple of years.
That's a great question. I've seen some comments on social media too. Hey, are we going to have can we have a camera like we did for the IPF to kind of see that kind of going up? I'm sure we will. What I was impressed about in Manhattan's presentation is they kind of had a projection, obviously, in terms of not only the timeline, but how can they, you know, what would kind of be visible during the course of that timeline. So when we get closer to groundbreaking and they get a chance to actually work with the preliminary designs, it'll be fun to be able to share that and kind of show how fast things will happen. But again, you know, in October, November, December, it'll be a lot of things that are somewhat just barely moving dirt around and getting things prepared. But I think as early as January, you'll start to see more and more, you know, activity, I'll say, you know, out there on the Sycamore fields. So, and then from there, yeah, it'll probably, from my recollection, it'll kind of start from the, I guess, the south side of the facility, kind of building up the operation, the TGA Center for Athletic Excellence kind of coming first, and kind of grows up from there. But it'll be quite visible from, you know, pretty quickly, I'm sure.
I tell you what, there was a lot visible going on. It brings to mind President Law, because she was on our radio broadcast in the spring game, and you could tell she's just with that vibe that was going on with the crowd of 5,000, just already foreseeing how the vibe is going to be in a few years when there's an on-campus stadium. But specifically for the spring game, would you agree that that gave you an idea of how it could be on a football-type Saturday, even though the numbers will be exponentially higher? I thought it was a great turnout.
Yeah, between last year's event and this year's, it just gives everybody a nice taste, I mean, and a very minor taste of what it's going to be like, because I look at the activity you saw at Corbett, that you saw people, you know, from all around, because we had a softball game that afternoon at home as well. To me, when you get a chance to start thinking about game days in the future, it's like, man, there'll be that many people there just kind of activating that for tailgating, or activating that for, you know, kind of the vibe walking into the stadium from wherever they might be parking on campus. I can fully envision, you know, activating when there's not games going on, Donaldson Deck, the baseball concessions, the Yangling Center operation. You can just see, like, there's going to be a need for all that to be able to, you know, be able to handle all the people to be able to enjoy. So to see all the food trucks and to see the activations and to see the beautiful day we had, it just kind of gave you a glimpse of, that was the main event on Saturday. That'll be like part of the atmosphere feeding into pregame activities when you start getting to the big stadium.
Got it. So,
and that was just the athletic district. I look forward to that fine day in 27 and beyond, that kind of vibe will be all over campus, right? The Marshall Center will be activated. The Alumni Center will be activated. All the atriums of all the different college of business, college of education, that they should all be many microcosms of tailgating and hospitality activity in and of itself. So it'll activate everything, and it's going to be very, very exciting.
Can't wait, and I know I'm not alone in that. That's just the football side of things. Take a quick break, and as I mentioned, Michael just came back last week from the Final Four. We also have tremendous championships taking place this week. That Donaldson Deck was pretty active with softball. Actually, I was witnessing that for my broadcast duties this past weekend. A lot happening that we'll get to when we come back on Bull Speed Ahead. A lot has been activated on campus. It's amazing that we're coming down to the end of the school year, but things just quickly, and it's funny because I just recall last year, the beginning of our fall schedule involved the, you know, volleyball team hosting that event, and we had the Final Four for that sport. So even though you were at the men's Final Four, and we'll talk about that experience, now, as you said, I believe, we are on the clock as far as Tampa Bay goes for the women's Final Four.
Yep, and we love hosting championship events here in Tampa Bay. We've got the best sports commission in the country with the Tampa Bay Sports Commission, and frankly, they're not able to host the major college events they do without us, without the University of Tampa, for whether a Division I or Division II championships. So, hey, we had the Frozen Four last year. We have we just had the volleyball championships, and now next year for a record-setting fourth time, we get a chance to host the women's Final Four. No one's hosted it more. We get a chance to do it because we've done it so well before. But man, to have the excitement going on with the women's Final Four event right now, all descending upon Tampa next year, is going to be a lot of fun. So our staff's looking forward to it. The Tampa Bay Sports Commission staff and volunteers are looking forward to it. But hey, another reason to get out there and get your Bulls women's basketball season tickets, get ready for another great season with Jose's team, and ultimately leading into the Final Four being here. So the dream for Jose and I is obviously to play in your own Final Four. That should be the goal, and that can be a great celebration from start to finish.
Oh man, there's going to be, I'm sure he's going to take that as a absolute mantra for this upcoming season. And actually announced their point guard Mama Dembele, who, you know, from Missouri in the SEC, was top 10 in the country in assists and steals, and, you know, was the defensive player of the year in the SEC. So they're excited about next season, and we can't wait. Now that Caitlin Clark's out of there, and I'm sure South Carolina will be in a total rebuild, I think the Bulls will cruise in.
We know it won't be easy, but if you don't believe it and don't envision it, it won't happen. And we're the only ones hosting the Final Four next year, so let's get behind our team. And,
absolutely.
Regardless, you get a chance to celebrate women's basketball from November until April next year, and it's going to be really fun to host this premier event.
Loved watching both Final Fours, including the whole UConn thing. But you got to be there. I know we talked about the bigger facilities that are hosting. So how was the Arizona Cardinals football stadium for a basketball venue, and what was it like being there?
Yeah, I've been there before for that event. I think it's a great football venue. And the only challenge to me with Phoenix for this event is, like, their resorts are extraordinary, their stadium's extraordinary, their hotels are extraordinary. It's just a little bit spaced out, so you don't get necessarily the same sense of place. But once you get to that game day facility, man, they have an amazing lawn that they have outside where they did their tip-off tailgate and all their activities, and it was a beautiful day on at least semifinal Saturday when I was still there, and it was just a lot of fun. So personally, it's been a great two Final Fours in a row, because my older daughter goes to the University of Miami. They made the Final Four last year, and she's a member of their band. My younger daughter is a sophomore at Alabama. They made it this year.
How about that?
To have a chance to experience the last two with them from a personal standpoint was really cool. But to kind of just, you know, knowing the events are part of my background and a love of mine, to kind of just see and knowing the hard work that goes in from a community and the volunteers and the host institution and then the stadium itself, it's a ton of work and just an honor to work with the NCAA staff on doing that. And I'm sure Phoenix is and should be very proud of what they've done, as I'm sure Cleveland is for the women's Final Four. But as you said, we're just excited to have the women's Final Four coming right here to Tampa next year.
And it seemed like everywhere I looked, be it Abby Ritter, be it Lee Butler, it wasn't just you. Other people got to be hard at work scouting out the Final Four situation from USF, right?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, I was going out to the men's aspect, but Lee Butler, Meredith Skirba, Chris Pierce, they were all here from, and Holden Ryman was out there working the event full throttle.
Wow.
To get used to the operations of it. So all of them were out there all week long for the women's Final Four to get a feel for it, as part of a delegation that was certainly sponsored by Rob Higgins and Claire Lessinger, the NCAA hosts what they call the future host seminars. They go through all the details. They show what they think is particularly good about things they want to duplicate. They show if they have future things they know they want to do differently in the future that they can share with us now. So we have a whole year to adjust. So we were proud to be a part of that delegation and be able to kind of move forward and be ready to go to make the Tampa Bay's fourth the best one. But the NCAA doesn't award championships like that outside of maybe Indianapolis, where they are with that type of reoccurrence. And the fact they're coming back here to Tampa Bay speaks volumes about the way this community has embraced it, and frankly, the way the people love it when they come here. They're, as we all know, late March, early April, and downtown Tampa in a event setting where you can pretty much walk to everything
right.
from the visitor standpoint, using the river walk, using, you know, Armature Works, using Sparkman, or, you know, using all that and coming alive, Water Street. It's going to be, we again, just to think it was extraordinary a couple of years ago when we hosted it and we didn't have a chance to, we had the river walk, but we didn't have Water Street. We didn't have some of the stuff that's there now,
right.
Which is going to just add to it. We didn't have the JW. We didn't have the addition. So there's just a lot of extra star power that Tampa can now shine through with for these major championship events.
Yeah, if you are an owner of a any sort of restaurant or sports bar or anything like that around Amalie Arena, get ready. I don't know if you're going to have as cool a name as the Winking Lizard in Cleveland next to the Quicken Loans, but I love that place, by the way. They're all going to be very, very busy. All right, so busy time around here, obviously. We alluded to it with softball. Wanted to give a shout-out to what they did this past weekend. Bell Sarja, who all she did against Wichita State, which is, you know, the team that was picked to win the conference, they're by 20, have more home runs than anybody else in the conference. And not only did she shut them out on a one-hitter, she became the first person in at least 10 years, that's as far back as I could go, that pitched 7 innings of shutout ball against Wichita and faced the minimum, which is just crazy. And then they had to follow that up with trying to win the series, and they did. So even though their conference record is 9-9, what they did there followed up what they, we probably should mention, did before Wichita came to town, which is go to Gainesville. And that was just not just a privilege to be at and broadcast, but an unbelievable achievement, a great week.
Yeah, made to what was a really fun week overall. We talked about all the good news related to the stadium, but to kind of sprinkle that in with a huge win for softball up at Gainesville when they beat Florida, and then to return home and win a tough series against Wichita, who you know, got us last year. So for us to go ahead and get a series win and to have Bell just perform at that level was really, really fun to see. It's also fun to see the honor roll this week, to see Dania Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, really had some clutch hitting as well that was fun. So you can see that young freshman developing before everyone's eyes and getting more confident each and every day.
I don't know why the TV cameras kept showing her dad. Do you know that guy? If people that don't know, Derek Brooks soon will be known as Dania's father, not Dania being Derek's daughter anymore.
That's exactly right.
And she's just phenomenal and just a big part of all those wins that they have. And there's 3 more weeks to go in their season and another 5 left to go in the baseball season. They're at home, actually, as we're taping this on a Monday, starting Tuesday night, 8 games in a row at home, which is rare this time of year, but a big opportunity for those guys as well.
We're at a really critical home stretch for our baseball program, and we got some guys starting to get healthier and get out there, and we're in third place right now, so a lot of things still in striking range. So we got a big series, again, a midweek game, like you said, this week, but then Rice coming up this weekend that encourage everyone to come out for some good baseball there. And then the other major thing we're really working on this week is we're in essence hosting both of our spring conference championships for golf, you know, underway right now is our women's golf championship up at Southern Hills up in Brooksville. And then later in the week, you've got over at Pelican Club, the men's golf championship. So our event staff and our overall marketing staff, everybody's working really hard, but that's what we do. That's what we love about when you're in the city, like a market like Tampa Bay, and you have so many great facilities and the weather's so nice this time of year, we want to host these events. It gives the best chance of victory, we think, to our student athletes, and it's great for our fans. So I encourage our fans, hey, get out there to baseball this 8-game homestand, and if you get a chance to get to Southern Hills or to Pelican to support our women's and men's golf team respectively, we would love for you to do that as we try to challenge for a championship in both those events.
Well, I'm going to be at Southern Hills, which is a beautiful club, Tuesday and Wednesday, hoping to see a conference championship. But if they don't win it, they're still definitely going to the NCAA tournament, which is a great spot to be in for that team. If you see me at Southern Hills, you are allowed to come up and say, hey, Bull Speed Ahead, and give me the horns up as well. So what else
am
I?
I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
I'm
please.
I'm going to tell you.
I know you're going to be there. And you mentioned hosting, very, very rare chance to see both of those golf teams, quote unquote, at home. And this is it, because after that, it's the NCAA tournament and nothing's in the state of Florida when it comes to that. And then also this week, both tennis teams playing for a conference championship and a spot in the NCAA tournament. So, Michael, thanks for taking so much time. Obviously, a lot on your plate, but it's all good stuff.
It's a great pleasure. A lot of great progress on every turn here at USF Athletics. Just appreciate everyone's support, and go Bulls.